seated. He blessed the Father for all things. He's good. And as David said, his mercies endureth forever. I'm very grateful for that. We're wretched in our activities in this life. We do things without his instructions or his laws being the principles of why we do the things we do. And so it's vitally important to know that his mercies, the favors of Yahweh, without any stipulations, because he has called a people to serve him in the beauty of holiness. And that is to truly worship him and to acknowledge all that he has done. For he gives us breath each day. He gives us life in our souls that we may acknowledge him. And there is nothing in life, regardless to what things transpire, that it ought to stop us from giving him the highest esteem of praise and worship. Whatever our trials or our tribulations are, they are not to that degree whereby they're insurmountable, whereby he cannot give us great peace and comfort, even in the midst of all those circumstances, in death, trials of afflictions, sufferings. He can give us great victory in those things if we truly trust him. Now, this is a generation that really doesn't trust the Father because it doesn't know him. It knows of religious worship and religious practices and traditions, but it doesn't know the Father because he is the one that makes us free from every bondage of sin, everything that would bind us and bring us unto the law of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah, Yahshua, has made us free from the law of sin and death. So it's made us free from that law of sin and death that works against him. That's the law of sin and death. It works against him. It does not work toward him or for him. But the law of sin and death works against him. For it was in that body of death, Messiah, that he brought every power under subjection unto the light, first of all, that was in the body. And in death, even those powers of darkness could not defeat him. And so we have the power of Almighty Yahweh dwelling in us. And we simply understand how to use what he has given unto us. That's just like giving a child a toy. If they do not know how to use it, then you must teach them. That's just like many things that you buy. And it takes a little putting them together. They may have 30, 40, 50 parts. So the first thing you do, you simply begin to put it together. And then you mess up. Because the most simplest processes are the first ones that you do in order to get the thing put together right. So you will look at the picture and say, well, that's the way it goes. So I'll put it together like that. And then when you finish, you got a third of the parts still there. It's a simple process, what they call an instruction. And when you go by that instruction, you will put every piece in place. You put every piece in place. Now, if you don't go by the instruction, you'll miss quite a few pieces. I don't care how smart you are, what you think you know, but that's just the way it is. And so he has given us instruction in the book by the scripture. When we obey the scripture, then we go from higher heights to higher heights. We began to progress in him. Now, this is a generation of the people that's not progressing. There's not much progression in our lives. We cannot overcome our, first of all, emotions and our feelings. We can't even overcome those things. So there is not a progression. There is a degression. You're not moving to that plateau and place whereby he can truly talk to you. As I search scripture, saints, I see things that I've never seen. I have read them, but I've never seen them in the light that I see them now. There's so much in this book. And I believe that all scripture now, you hear that, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. And it is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, and for correction in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be thoroughly furnished to do what? To do the will of the Father. He must have that completion. And the only way he's going to get that by the knowledge of scripture. The knowledge of scripture. And that is the light or the revealed truth of Yahweh revealed unto man, whereby he can understand that. I don't believe that he wrote or gave us knowledge of any of his precise characteristics that we should not know what he is saying. I don't think he gave us the knowledge of revelation of this end time that we do not understand what he is saying. And we should understand everything that
he says.
Why? Because first of all, we should be spiritual. What about the spiritual? He judged all things. He judged everything, and he is judged of no man. He is not brought under condemnation by any man, what that is actually saying. Regardless to what a man says against him, he is not condemned by those things. Because he judged his mouth, he judged his spirit, he judged his heart, he judged his character, he judged everything that he does to make sure that it's applicable or it complies with the law of Almighty Yahweh. Now this generation hasn't done that. That's a way that seemeth right unto man. Our ways seem so right. It is not based on scripture. It's based upon our feelings and our emotions. It's not based on the law of the scripture. And woe unto them. Woe unto them. Everything that we do should be based on what scripture says. And if we do something that is not based on scripture, then we're walking out of the will of Almighty Yahweh. It makes no difference who it is. He gives us laws, commands, and statutes, and he counsels us to do what he commands us to do. At any time one walks against that, then they are walking out of the will of Almighty Yahweh. I want to read from scripture tonight. I want to begin here in the book of Ephesians. You must understand that theologians say that this is one of the most purest book when it comes to the knowledge of the central truths of Almighty Yahweh. It's one thing that Paul did when he wrote to the saints of Galatia, or to those that were of Philippi. He set in order the assemblies there and told them what things must be implemented in the assemblies in order for them to walk in this counsel or this knowledge that has been revealed by the Son, Messiah. And what he wrote unto Ephesians was the fullness of Yahweh's truth. That they may know. This is not just to a general assembly. This letter is to the body. Whereby Philippians and Galatians, they were specifically for that group or that body of saints dwelling in that place. But what Paul did here was a very powerful thing that he did. Being led by the Spirit, he wrote a letter, or he gave scriptures that imply all assemblies the knowledge of this profound truth. And I want to begin in the first verse because there's something I want to touch on in this book here. He says in the first chapter of Ephesians, I want to read a few verses here. He first of all identified who he is. He said, I am an apostle of Messiah. He said, by the will of Yahweh, not by the will of man now. He said, but this is the purpose that my life was established by the will of Almighty Yahweh, that I may be a true messenger of Almighty Yahweh, understanding the very purpose of Messiah, and to preach that and to speak that with profoundness, regardless to my ethnicity or what I've been raised up to believe, there's a truth that has been revealed unto me that transcends all of my zealous practices as a Pharisee. He said, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Messiah. Not only to those saints in Ephesus, but this is for the faithful ones. You notice who he identified? Faithful ones. He identified the faithful. Now we can search our own lives and our own hearts and see how faithful we are unto him. If you are faithful unto him, it is one thing you will do. You will simply do what he commands you to do. If you love him, you will do what he commands you. So he said, unto the faithful, first of all, he said, grace be to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and from Messiah. He said, blessed be Yahweh our Father and of our Messiah, Yeshua, who have blessed us with not some now, but he said, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Messiah. He has brought unto us a knowledge and a revelation that it takes us above the level of our flesh. And we can see above that. We can get above our flesh and above these handicaps of our flesh. The things that binds us and bring us into captivity. He has blessed us with the spiritual knowledge and understanding that we can get above the component of our flesh. And there is where the saints of Yahweh need to get. We need all of the spiritual blessings of Almighty Yahweh. We are people that are subjected unto the flesh. It dictates, it guides, it instructs us. And there is a spirit of life in us ought to be greater than the law of the flesh. And the law of the spirit has a greater power than the law of the flesh. And having that law of the spirit, then we ought to walk in the spirit. If we walk in the spirit, then we're sons of Almighty Yahweh. Now, if we don't walk in the spirit, then we're not sons. We're not sons. We're heathens. We're bastards. We're estranged from the truth. So he has given us all spiritual blessings that we may walk in places that are above this natural realm that gives us a clarity or a clearness as to who he is. This generation has no clarity or clearness as to whom the Father is. We all got a picture of what we call a God. But who is Yahweh? Who is this mighty one that the scriptures define and that the scripture tells us of? Who is this one? He has a demeanor, he has a character, he has a personality, and yet all of our understanding of this is based upon what we perceive as feelings, our emotions, and what we think has nothing to do with scripture. And it's wrong. You're being misled. You've been misguided. And once you begin to do that, then you're walking in blindness. And you're going to fall into the ditch. That's what's going to happen. And that's the simple truth. He has not left us alone for you to dictate and you to prescribe a method for you to get into the kingdom. He gave us a method. And it's in scripture. And if you go beyond that and you reject that, then you reject him. So he laid down a law of the simple truths that Yahweh had imparted into the assembly. First of all, that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has imparted gifts unto men that they may speak as orators of righteousness. And there shall be a righteous law in their lips. And they will speak irregardless of what man says. They will not fear what man say. They will not fear the retribution of what things that will come to pass because of what laws and principles that they stand for. So he said, I want you to know that I am an apostle. I know my calling. I know my election. And I'm sure of my election. The scripture tells us, saints, let us not be unwise, but understanding what the will of Yahweh is. This is a very unwise generation. It doesn't understand the will of the Father. We are quite apt at understanding the will of our flesh. That we understand what we will do, what we are willing to do, what we want to do, what we desire to do, but it has nothing to do with understanding what the will of the Father is. First of all, as Messiah said, the meat of his will is for me to do the will of the Father. And then once I began to embark upon that will, I must finish the will of the Father. You don't start this race and somewhere in the middle of the race because your body gets a little twitch or you don't like the way your body feels, you stop. No marathon runner will be a great runner if he does that. Even though there are pains in their bodies, they sense a different comfort in their body, they press beyond that. Now that's what this law of the Spirit does. It gives us the power and the ability to press beyond those little fleshly discomforts that we sense because it doesn't cater or give us some comfort to what we are. I like this and I don't like that. I want this and I want that. That's not the way it is. You're not going to pick and choose. He's not going to give you that power. He never gave you that. He hasn't given us that. He finished the work on Calvary. Messiah did. And he set in place everything that was needed for the tabernacle, the assembly. And he's not going to allow man to tamper with that. All the tampering of man has caused such a hardship. It has caused grievous things to fall upon the body. And so he said he's not going to allow that in this hour. It's going to be a people that's called and elected according to his purpose that they may understand what the will of the Father is. We understand everything but what the will of the Father is. We must understand what the will of the Father is. There are not that many people that truly love the Father today. Because there is no desire for correction. Man doesn't want to be corrected. He thinks that he's above the pure word of Yahweh. And if Yahweh never corrects you, then you are a bastard. Something is wrong in your spirit. We ought to pray, correct me in judgment. Judge my heart severely. And correct me, Yahweh. I don't want you to do that in your anger. Because I know in the midst of your anger, if you correct me, you're going to bring me to a piece of nothing.
So today men don't want Yahweh to correct them. They reject anything that he said today. Because if it doesn't give some satisfaction in the flesh, something that they can agree with, then it's wrong. But it's not wrong. He's not wrong in what he has said. His ways are not wrong. The way of a man are pure in his own sight. Every way of a man, they're right in his own sight. He has ordained a way that whereby nothing from hell, nothing of your flesh can destroy it or make him change that. Can he change the sacrificial offering of Messiah? That's settled, isn't it? So is his word. His word is forever settled. It's settled in the kingdom. And he's not going to change that. His word is. And it is how he's causing the heart of men to seek him in a way that men have never sought him. In truth. Really in truth, saints. He wants us to seek him in truth. And to know what truth is. Now, I don't want to embark upon that because I want to deal with that on the Shabbat. I've got something very important I want to teach on the Sabbath. He says in verse 4 of chapter 1, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that is what he has done. Before there was a foundation, he chose us in him. And what Messiah did, he came to give us that hope that showed us the great calling of Almighty Yahweh. Before the foundation, we were chosen in him. He had predestinated his people. He had called them and chosen them. Before the world was ever formed, he knew them. He knew us. And he called us and predestinated us in him. For what reason? That we should live without sin, clean and pure and righteous and holy before him. That's what he commands and he desires. That's why he chose a people that he knew that they could do that. Now, what is the thing that causes us not to do that? We allow these fleshly, sensual things to drive us away from him. To be carnal-minded is enmity against him. And so we think fleshly, we live fleshly, we walk fleshly, we act fleshly, we love fleshly. Everything is done by the response of the flesh. It can't be done that way. We must be led by the Spirit. And His Word is Spirit, so we must get that in us to lead us. We get all kinds of things in us to lead us to anger, wrath, and strife, sedition. Causes us to fight one another. Now we get that word of Yahweh in us. It will lead us unto that perfection of his love in our hearts. That we will love. We'll know how to love one another. We can do the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. That's why it's such a difficult thing to do today. Because we just don't have the word down in our souls. As David said, I will hide thy word in my heart. Down in the depths of my soul. That I will not sin against you. We had all kinds of traditions and feelings and emotions, but we don't hide his truth down in our souls. Men don't hide that today. If anything, they reject the truth. They despise it. They turn their hearts away from that because they say, well, I don't believe it ought to be that way. Well, we don't go by what we believe. We go by interpretation of Scripture as it is revealed unto us. And no Scripture is given of any private interpretation. It's given by the direction of the Spirit. And Yahweh reveals unto us what the Scripture implies and what it is for. And we need to understand Scripture today, saints. And that is very important, to understand Scripture. He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yahshua to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And that's why. His grace. What is Yahweh's grace? He simply choose. He simply prefers. Has nothing to do with the man's stature, his ability. And he done this so that we may have praise and glory to his grace. Isn't that simple to understand? His grace is sufficient. You can add nothing to grace. It's just sufficient. So he says, understanding that, my friends, then you ought to give praise and glory to my grace. You ought to know it's my grace, not of any significant value we have, because we're all unprofitable. He said, but it's to my grace and a praise to my grace to let you know that I can choose or I can reject, I can anoint, or I can establish whomever I will. Now that's what he's saying right here. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. He has made us a part of him, that he will love us, or we can be loved by him. What a profound statement. That is why we must understand this adoption that we have. It is for his glory, for the glory of his grace. Not that we have done any significant works, because all of our works or our righteousness, it is as filthy rags. They have no value. That's why we must do all things as unto him, or we do all things because we know that it is by his grace and mercy we have strength, have the ability to do those things, and in understanding that we constantly give him praises and thanksgivings for all that he is doing for us. We acknowledge that it is him and not ourselves. And so as we acknowledge that, then we can become more thankful. And the more thankful we become, then we can offer up sacrifices of thanksgivings and praises unto him. That's why we are not very thankful, because we don't realize what he has done. We read about it, but it has no place in our hearts. Because once it takes place in our hearts, it will begin to produce a fruit. And the fruit will be a glory unto him, or praise offering unto him. And so we don't acknowledge that. We don't. We don't realize that he is the one that predestinated us. He did. Before the foundations of the earth, we were predestinated to become the sons of Yahweh before the foundation. And so as we understand that and acknowledge that, we will be very grateful for his grace. See, his grace. That's why he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. You don't need to add anything unto that. He saw him thrice about a situation, but he said, my grace is sufficient. You ought to be very grateful that I've just called you, because you're predestinated. And I've allowed this infirmity or this trial to try you, that you will know that I am more than able to touch you, to give strength unto you. And when you understand that, then you will be very grateful for my grace. That I've chosen you, because there are many out there, they are going through tremendous pains, and they have no one to call upon. There's no grace given unto them. There's no mercy unto them. And yet you can call upon me and glorify me for my grace. You will know it is my grace, just me choosing you and calling you for my good pleasure. And you will begin to thank him and worship and glorify him. For that's what the Father wants, saints. It is the truth that is needed in the tabernacle, the assembly today. We got all kinds of things that separate men from the Father. Our traditions, the laws of our flesh, the laws of our natural and carnal minds, that we actually reject what truth says. And so we go about establishing our own righteousness. We establish our own ways. We become our own priests. We will make and establish our own pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers according to our likings. Ones that will satisfy us. That is not the will of the Father. He never intended that. That's why Yahweh did not leave that job unfinished. He took care of that before Messiah ascended back into the glory. He had to make sure that he established a spirit in the earth at that time, that it would acknowledge him, and that everything that man did would bring glory unto him. And so he gave gifts unto men. He did not give them unto women. He gave those gifts unto men, because he knew the opposition of hell, how Satan would battle against the mind. He showed us, even in the body of the woman, that there was a fault line there. That's why she fell to the depravity of Satan. And because the man, he went in headlong, it was not the man that was caught in transgression, but it was the woman. That's what scripture says. And so he established a law in the heart of men, that they would establish his righteousness by the foolishness of preaching. And we that believe that, then we are saved. He hasn't changed. And He wants that established in this hour. It has to be and it must be. I want to jump down to chapter 2 because I want to move quickly. Chapter 2. Paul said, and you, as he speaks about this Gentile collection of people that Yahweh has called for salvation, he said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses in sins. We were dead in the trespasses of sin. So he made us alive unto the knowledge of that sin. That he made us alive unto him. It's one thing that when he quickened you that day, you realize that there were things in your life that were not right. They were not appropriate. You began to cleanse yourself from those things. You began to separate yourself from that. Because he had sealed us by his anointing. He allowed Satan to know that this one is mine. He said, but they're wretched. He said, I understand. But they have no knowledge of your truth. I know that. But I seal this one for my purpose. For what purpose? That my grace is sufficient. That they may bring glory and praise unto my grace. We must do that, saints. His grace is more than adequate. If we could come to the understanding of truly what the grace of Yahweh is. It transcends any feeling or emotion. It goes beyond that. And that is the place we need to get to. We need to get out of that emotional state. It is good to have emotions. But we are not carried about with our emotions. We are led by the Spirit. We are not led by emotions. We are led by the Spirit. And if we are led by the Spirit, then we are sons. Well, I don't think Pastor Roberts did that right. That's your emotions. If Scripture says it, then it's right to do it. It's appropriate to do it. It has nothing to do with your feelings or how you feel about the circumstance. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do what Scripture implies or what Scripture says. So who, those that he has predestinated, he has quickened. Because were we not all dead in trespasses and sins? We had trespassed against him. You understand what trespassing is, don't you? We have a sign down there on the property that says, no trespassing. That means you cannot come on the property. So when one defies that, they come on the property. So they're trespassing. So Yahweh says, don't sin. Don't disobey me. So we trespass him. We trespass him. We go beyond what he says, and say, look, I've done that. What are you going to do? Now, if you get caught in that situation, it won't to you. You get caught in that situation. So we were so dead in trespasses. We were trespassing, and we were so dead, we didn't realize that we were trespassing. You know how you thought and how you felt? You were a nice person. You didn't do nobody no harm. You're nice to everybody. We all said that. I'm a good person. I haven't done anybody any wrong. I try to be good to everyone. So we would justify that by giving someone 50 cents or a dollar. Say we fed someone or did something nice today. But we were dead in trespasses and sin. And that day he quickened you. He brought alive your soul. Isn't that how he made Adam alive? He breathed breath into his body. He became a living soul. Don't you know that Adam recognized him once he did that? Because every day we'll come to the garden, Adam knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. He knew that subtle creature in the garden too. He knew him. He knew he had power over him. So he will look at him and say, oh, you have nothing. But when Yahweh will come, he knew there was a quietness in the midst of that garden, and he will begin to talk. It was only when they trespassed. He gave them a simple law when they trespassed against him. He did not quicken them. He brought death upon them. Sin began immediately to work in their bodies. And so we trespass against him. There's a law of sin and corruption that begins to work in us. That our minds are turned away from him. Our hearts are turned away from him. We're not satisfied with what he's doing, whether it's trials, tribulations, or affliction. Why? Because we have no delight in his glory or his grace. We don't even understand what the grace of Yahweh is. If we understood what his grace was, we would give him thanks for what he is doing. And so we trespass, our minds become very hardened against him. And our hearts, and we were all dead in trespasses and sin. And yet he has quickened us. And he has made us alive. He said, where we're in the time past, he walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the powers of the air. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now when you are a child of disobedience, that's the spirit that works in you. It's the prince of the power of the air. It's the spirit of darkness that works in you. You disobey the word of Yahweh, then it's the spirit of disobedience in you. He said, now those one that are walking in that spirit of disobedience, they're walking according to the prince. He's a ruling power. He dwells above these comic heavens, above the heavens. And he walks in these heavens. And so as the air is almost like a breath. You know when you're inside, it seems like it's suffocating. You can't breathe. First thing you want is a little air. When you get out and get a little air, opens your lungs up and gives you some capacity to breathe. It does, doesn't it? So that's what this prince does. When you open up yourself, say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to, then he breathed that breath into you. So give you capacity to do that. So he fill your mind with that spirit and that law whereby you will transgress against Almighty Yahweh. And we found ourselves doing that and walking under that covenant, and we ought not to be walking under that. We should walk according to the course of this world. We should not do it at all. We should not practice the things that the world practice. None whatsoever. We should practice the laws of Yahweh and his righteous statutes. He has not nullified them. They are still as important today as they were with Moses. It's just our principles that we have learned, they have taught us to deny the truth of Yahweh. The scripture tells us one thing, what is the truth? It's in the scriptures. What is it? I'll tell you on that one on the Shabbat. I want to finish this, all right? He says, amongst when we also had our conversation things in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the what? Mind. See, that's what we did. Now, something is wrong if we are now trying to fulfill the desire of the flesh and our minds. We ought to have the mind of Yahshua in us. Let this mind of Yahshua be in us, that same mind. And that mind fulfilled one thing. It did not please himself, but he pleased the Father. And that was to do the will of the Father and to finish the will of the Father. That's why, brothers and sisters, we ought not to be ignorant. We ought to understand what the will of Almighty Yahweh is. Brethren, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Father is. We need to understand what the will of the Father is. And when we don't understand that, then we are very unwise people. And Satan is very good at making us unwise. Why? Because we walk according to the scripture, trying to fulfill the desire of our flesh and of our mind. And whereby nature, the children of wrath, even as others. We were just like the others, children of wrath. And when you fulfill that in this hour, you are children of wrath. The wrath of Yahweh is going to fall upon you. There was nothing that angered Yahweh when the children of Israel would try to fulfill the lust of their mind and the lust of their flesh. He brought them out. He sat down. They ate and they rose up and they played. And to satisfy their own consciousness, they built their God. They built them a calf. And he sent death in the camp. And so that's what we do. We build our own religious. We got our own Christ. He's anointed just for us. And so what he tells me to do is right. It may not be right for you, but it's right for me. That's what it is. See, he tells you you're right, that one wrong. That's what your own Christ, your own anointing tell you. That's what Christ is, just the anointed one. And you have the sense that you are the anointed one. And that's all it is, saints. It's not being led by the Spirit of Yahweh, because the Spirit will lead you into, first of all, nothing but all truth. And we must find out what all truth is. You must find out what all truth is. And the scripture tells us what all truth is. It tells us. And that's the truth. That was before the New Testament was ever written. Messiah said that. That's the truth. He said, I want to let you know in verse 4, but Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with now Yahshua. By what? By grace. That's why we want to give thanks and praise to his grace. He said, by grace are you saved. Just by grace now. Messiah is the proof that grace is sufficient. That's what Messiah is, saints. He's the proof that the grace is authentic. It's not a false grace. He has chosen you and he wants you to know that, to seal that he sent his only begotten. Begotten of his bosom. He sent his son. To let you know that it is his grace. It is his grace that is sufficient. And to show you how sufficient that grace is, he sent Messiah to put the seal on that grace, to let you know it's not by any work you've done, he's already done the works. It's not by any of your righteousness, it's by his righteousness. And whatever he does, he chooses, he picks according to his righteousness. That is the purpose of Messiah, to let us know that that grace is sufficient. He called you. He chose you. It was nothing what mother did, daddy did, brother or sister did. He said, by grace are you saved. And he said, to show you how significant that grace is, Messiah proved it. Because I chose him and he died for your sins. That's my grace. It's by his grace we are saved. And we need to understand these truths, saints. That's why we walk straying from him. That's why we transgress against him. We understand what he has done and the purpose of him doing that. He did it for his pleasure. For his house to be full. This is not some kind of mythical truth. This is the truth. We walked in all kind of mythology and all kinds of gods. Every last word of us, our own gods tells, your God tells you how to do it and what to do. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Your own God tells you how to do it and what to do. There's only one righteous one. And we must do what Scripture says. We must do what Scripture says. Well, I don't know. Then you don't have the Spirit of Yahweh. But if I receive that Spirit, it will lead him. The Spirit will lead you. You don't lead the Spirit, saints. It is the Spirit of Yahweh. That's what he is, a Spirit. Messiah said, I can't be with you all, but I will pray to the Father. And he will send you another comforter. He will send you a Spirit that shall abide in you, and it shall be with you. Now what we call the Spirit, it is just a commodulation of trash. That is the truth, saints, because the Spirit never leads you into lies. Never. We have grieved the Spirit because he has led us to the place and we don't like where he's leading us. And we've grieved it and breached the Spirit. And Yahweh had to put a hard hat on us. That's what he's had to do in the past. He had to take a hard hand. Reprove us. And that's the only way it's going to be done. He had to reprove us. That's why he's going to chasten his sons. He corrects them. He's going to do that. By his grace are we saved. Not mama's grace or daddy's grace. Not preacher's grace. His grace. By grace are you saved. That is such a pure truth and a simple truth. It ought to ignite the heart and the people of Yahweh. That shall give them comfort and hope in eternal life. That there is something beyond this, because we know that death is an imminent thing. It is coming. It's not far from any of us sitting here today. Death is right at the door beckoning. Don't think because you're young and virile that death is not going to beckon you. It is, my friend. Every last one of us are going to die. In this natural realm, you're going to leave here. Husbands are going to leave their wives. Wives, their husbands, children are going to leave. Parents, you are going to die. And that's the truth. And the older we get, we ought to realize that even more. Each day, we ought to realize that even more. And be very grateful unto the Father for his grace, because it was sufficient for that day before. And then understanding the pure grace of Yahweh, giving him glory and praise for his grace, we will not go back to the same way of transgression we did yesterday. We will not walk in that today. We will not do the very same thing. He said, Yahweh hath raised us up together, hath made us together to sit in heavenly places in Messiah. So we can sit in a place that the flesh will take no comfort. It will not have any strength. Now we don't sit in heavenly places with Messiah. He has raised us up so we can do that. We sit in fleshly places. We sit in the cesspool of flesh. That's why the Israelites says, we're better off in Egypt. We had our flesh parts. And that's why many say we're better off in Egypt, because we have our flesh parts. We have flesh we can identify with. We have friends, we have family, we have our flesh parts. That's not the will of Yahweh. That's not the Spirit of Yahweh. That's not his truth. So he has made us that we can sit together in places whereby it transcends the law of the flesh. You won't even identify with flesh. You won't see a black man or a white man or Jew or Mexican. You will just see the love of Yahweh. You will see the righteous spirit of his law working in one another. You will have no respect to person or any kind of love with dissimulation. It will just be pure. Why? Because we sit in a place whereby it is beyond the visual perception. It's beyond the natural perception. And most of our sitting is in a natural place with a natural mind and natural thoughts and natural things. That shouldn't be. And if he has not raised us up to sit in those places, then he has not raised us up. And we're not sitting in places like that, then we're not raised up by him. Then what are we raised up by? We've been lifted up by our flesh, by our carnal ways. And that's why you don't see the mighty manifestation of spiritual truth, of spiritual light, in the hearts of many today. And so when he speak a spiritual truth to us, we reject that. We become very hostile against it. That's why many today, they're very hostile against his name. Tell me the Father's name. There has to be a name of the Father. And it's not Lord and it's not God. He has a name. His name is Yahweh. It is. Who hath ascended up to the heavens? And who can tell me the name of the Father and his Son's name? He has a name, saints. And it's an everlasting name. It's an eternal name. And he wants us to know, because in that name is his beauty as a father. Every child has a father, they want to know his name. I don't care if you were born even like I was, you still had a father. You didn't just come by the way of mama by herself. There was a man. He imparted the seed into her. Had to be that. So everyone has a natural father. They do. I don't care who you are. You may not know him, but you got one. And that's the truth. I want to drop down verse 8. He said, For by grace. Are ye saved? It's just by faith. You believe in this wonderful grace through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of Yahweh. That's what it is. It's a gift of him, saints. He never intended. Messiah never took glory away from the Father. All he did was to bring glory to the Father. He never, saints. He never took worship away from the Father. He never. He told us that Yahweh seeketh such. To worship him. As he talked with that woman, he said, he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. For it's by grace we are saved. What is grace? It's just Yahweh's choosing. It's just what he willed to do. You can't express it any other way. And we have faith in the propitiation. He said, your sins, Yahweh has always required a blood sacrifice. He said, now this is going to be the sufficient sacrifice for our sins. No more bullocks and heifers. It's going to be this one. It's going to be fulfilled in this. No more. No more. And this is going to be full of grace. It's going to be the fullness of my grace in this body. The fullness of his grace was in that body. The fullness of the Father's grace was in that body. He said, you have faith in that work. And if you have faith in that work, you're saved by my grace through the faith of that profound work that I've done in the body of Messiah. And you won't have to have any doubt at all. None whatsoever. None. Who saved Israel? It was Yahweh to save them. Salvation belongeth unto him. It was just his grace. It was not that they were better than anyone else. They were worse than the heathens. They were more wicked. They were corrupt. They were filthy. They had no birthright. Even he said when your navel cord was cut, you were just a castaway, really. They had no significant value. How much value do we have? We were all just like that, filthy. When our ambivalent core was cut, we had the filth of that thing still in us. And yet he just chose us by grace. It's just by his grace. And he said, now this sacrifice is going to be sufficient. You must have faith in the sacrifice. For faith in the sacrifice shows you that it was by my grace that you are delivered and you are saved. So you can't deny the sacrifice and say we have grace. You can't do that. That sacrifice was sufficient. Glory to Yahweh. I want to move on. I want to read something else. I want to get to one point here. Glory. He says in chapter 4, Ephesians, Paul says, first of all, he said, I am a prisoner of Yahshua. I beseech you, he said, I beg you, now look what he said, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We walk in a vocation. We're in training. We have a job. That's what a vocation is. It's a specific job. It's a trained area that you walk in. He said that you need to walk worthy of that vocation wherewith he has called you. You got to walk worthy of that. You know that his grace is sufficient. You got to show him how grateful you are for that grace. So you give glory and honor and praise to the grace of Yahweh. You thank him for grace. Thank you, Father. That's what thanking him is. You're thanking him for his grace. If you never walk around thanking him, something is wrong, then his grace is not sufficient. That should be a constant thing out of your mouth. Thank you, Father. I bless you. I thank you. I thank you. Grace to breathe. Grace to be alive. So you can't deny this wonderful grace he's given unto us, saints. You can't. He doesn't want us to do that, brothers and sisters. He said, I want you to do with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, and you must forbear one another in love. Not just forbear one another, in love. When you forbear one another, it has to be done in love, saints. He forbears us, doesn't he? He forbears us with long sufferings. We've transgressed, we've sinned, and the only thing that holds him to his God is his grace. He has called and ordained us by his grace. And the sacrifice is sufficient. And that sacrifice, I know this, was the price paid in full for all of the sins. So he's held to that accountability. Almighty Yahweh is. He's held to that. That the price, Messiah, being the propitiation for our sins, he was the price paid in full. There's nothing owed. We just serve him and live by his laws and his righteous statutes is what we do. That's what he commands us to do. And we must do those things, saints. We have to. He said, and you do that because you're endeavoring, you're pressing to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, that's why you do that. You want a bond of peace. There's nothing like the bond of peace, saints. Nothing. There are folks that have bonds, but they're not bonds of peace. There are families that have bonds, but there's no bond of peace. Because they get disgruntled very easily with each other. They're sad to see one another coming. They're glad to see them go. It's not a bond of shalom. It's not a bond of his Spirit dwelling in the midst. And we need that bond of peace, saints. And the only way we're going to have that bond of peace is that we have his anointing and his Spirit dwelling in us. We need that. We need that. We've been anointed, but it's not for his purpose and his glory. We have all kinds of anointings on us, but they're not the true anointings of Yahweh. It's not his anointing. When you do wrong, that's not his anointing. His oil is not poured out on you for that. That anointing is one of darkness. And it caused your eyes to become disillusioned. And that delusion come. Whereby you actually think this good to do and right. But it's not good to do and right. We have to do what he says, saints. And that's the truth. He said, for one thing, I want you to know there is one body. There's only one body. One spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's only one hope. And Messiah is that hope. There's no other hope. Just one calling. Same calling for us all. We're called to be sons. We're called to be saints. We're called to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. We're called to do that. He said, there's one Yahweh, one faith, and there's only one baptism. He said, one Yahweh, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all by his Spirit. The we that are elected, he is in us. That's why Messiah said, I will pray that Yahweh will send you his Spirit. I will pray to the Father. In our own understandings, we all have different kinds of gods. And your God is different than my God. My God is different than your God. My God doesn't agree with the way your God does things. Your God doesn't agree with my way. Because it's one thing about a God, it wants to reign supreme. You must understand that. Every God wants to reign supreme. And that's why you get a conflict with one another. Because you're not walking in the Spirit. And so there's no endeavor to keep the bond of peace in one Spirit. And so your God wants to reign supreme over this one's God, and this one's God wants to reign supreme over your God, and there's a great clash there. That's a battle. That's a battle. So you have fighting and friction. You have an onslaught. This one coming at you, you going at them. So that's not the spirit of Yahweh. He's not in the midst of that, saints. He's only one. There's only one. There's only one Redeemer. There's only one hope. And Yahweh has expressed unto us the purpose of that hope at the body of Messiah. That men everywhere shall know that He is the one, and beside Him there is no other. He is the one that chooseth. He is the one that shows grace. There's no other one that shows grace but Him. He's the only one that has power. And no one else has power but the Father. No one else, my friends. He said, I want to tell you, but unto every one of us is given grace. Given grace now, according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Well, what measure is that? He was the fullness of Yahweh's grace. He was full of the Spirit. And we're given the grace according. And that's what he's talking about, this choosing, this anointing of Yahweh. According to the measure of the gift of Yahshua. Everything we need is in Him. He satisfies. He completes. He gives us strength. He gives us hope. In that body is the fullness of the measure of Yahweh's grace. It couldn't have come by Michael or Gabriel. It came by Messiah. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended now, because he knew what he was doing, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He brought men unto the law of that captivity, whereby that he could give gifts unto men. That's what he said. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And before he did that, he did this. It said he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now Yahweh did that. Messiah, as Yahweh commissioned that, why? Because Yahweh said, I will give you Israel pastors after mine own heart. And Yahshua had the heart of the Father. And so he gave an order. As Jethro told Moses, you cannot bear these things. And you pray for these elders, you anoint them, and they will receive the spirit of Moses, that they can handle these situations in the midst of the camp. And Yahweh has not changed at all. You must understand that Jethro was a high priest. He was not just some fly-by-nighter. And Messiah is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so he gave this anointing us a structure of government in the house and the assembly. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, the purpose of this is for the completion of the perfecting of the saints. That's what it's for the perfecting of the saints. And for the work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Messiah. They bring edification to the body. They bring knowledge to the body. They bring strength and understanding. He gave those gifts. They are gifts. Someone gives a gift, it is from that person. So Yahweh is the one that imparted the gifts in the hearts of men. That they may walk in the callings and the anointing. That they may bring a perfect law in the hearts of the saints. And that perfect law is to reverence Him and to obey Him and to love Him above all things. With all our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength. And so because we have had such a debacle in what we call, quote, the church, unquote, we have had a mess. And that's what it consists of, just a mess. And so when he speaks a righteous law to the people, they reject that. They reject any kind of authority. And Messiah, he had to finish this work before he could ascend back into the heavens. He had to complete this work. He had to impart that gift unto men that it would saturate the earth. He had to commit things unto those that were faithful. So he gave gifts unto men. And so man today say, I don't need no evangelists, no pastors, no apostles. I don't need that. I do things of all. Isn't that what the God of this earth has taught us? That's what these four houses teach everyone today. I know what your heart of John said when he wrote to Geisha that you need no man to teach you. Because there's one thing that the Spirit of Yahweh leads you. It will lead you into the law and the commandments of Yahweh. And if you search scripture and you actually read them, you will see. But you can't just read the New Testament. You got to go from the new to the old. You must go to the Torah, saints. You can't reject the Torah or the prophets or the Psalms. You just cannot. I'll never forget when Yahweh began to deal with me as a young man. Sister Robert's grandfather said to me, he said, you don't need the Old Testament. You just need the New. I couldn't understand that for nothing. I said, it's all called the Holy Bible. Why would not the Old be as important as the New? That's the concept that has been taught. And folks believe that. They say the Old is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with anything sufficient today. But that's not true. You have no light of the New unless you go to the Old. You must go to the Old, saints. You must. There's no way we're going to get light of whom He is unless we go to the Old. We have to. We have to, saints. He said the order of this ministry was given, all these gifts, so they would bring a perfection to the saints. For what reason? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Until we all come in the unity, the oneness, the unanimity of faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Now you can look at yourself and see if there's any fullness of Messiah in you. We got to come to that stature. I don't think He gave us that for us not to come to that stature. We must come to the fullness. The fullness. As John said, I must decrease and He must increase. That's a metaphor for us. We're forerunners of this coming kingdom. That's what we are in this hour. And so as we get closer to this kingdom revelation, then we must decrease while He increases in us. Now what is taking place? We are increasing and the law of His light is decreasing. And it should be the very opposite. He should be increasing and us, we should be decreasing. If we truly look at ourselves, we can find a decreasing or an increase in us, our will and our personality. And it's not the mind of Messiah. So He has to increase and we must decrease. We must crucify ourselves daily. If any of us will follow after Him, we must first of all deny ourselves. You must do that, saints. There's no way you can follow Him. That's why it's so difficult for us to follow Him today. Because we don't want to deny our feelings. We don't want to deny our emotions. We don't want to deny things that we've been brought up to believe. There's so many things that we've been brought up to believe that is just not true, saints. There's a lot of things. As I search scripture, I see things that we've been taught because our leaders did not know. And we were led by that Spirit just to follow the little road. And it did not bring us to any kind of completion. There's no fullness of Messiah. And we get that fullness, we're ready to die. That's why no one is ready to die today. They're not willing to die unto their will or to their flesh. We're not willing to do that, saints. That's the truth. Yahweh give us strength and help to do that. He said that we henceforth be no more children. You will know whether you're a child or a little boy, a little girl. Tossed to and fro. You do not know whether you're coming or going. And carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every little cunning thing by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now they just lie in wait to deceive you. The truth doesn't deceive a man. Well, Pastor Roberts, the doctrine of His name, that is the truth. That doesn't deceive you to turn your heart from the truth. It doesn't bewitch you where you can't obey the truth. It just brings you to the knowledge whereby He has a name, the Father. But it doesn't bewitch you where you can't obey the truth. If I were deceiving you, I would bewitch you to where you could obey the laws and the righteous stipulations of Yahweh. But that's not what I preach. Bring us to the knowledge of whom He is, that we may get this awesome fear of Him. We don't have very little fear of Him. Because if we did, we would watch what we say we do. We would know He's watching us. Our attitudes, our spirits. And that's the truth, saint. He doesn't want us to be tossed like little children. To and fro. With the sleight of men, their cunning ways, their craftiness. To deceive us. He said, but speak the truth in love, regardless. See, people think that love is, well, just stroke my back. As Elder Martin said to me, as David declared, open rebuke is better than secret love. He said, you still speak the truth to them in love. That is love. And so we've been taught that even the children don't even think their parents love them because they do what Scripture says. Because they put the rod to their backside. And they don't believe their parents love them. What child has ever gotten a whipping and thought that their parent or parents love them for doing that? We don't think they love us when they do that. But he said, open rebuke is better than secret love. He said, but you tell them the truth in love regardless. You still tell them the truth. If you truly love them, you tell them the truth. How can someone love you and tell you not the truth? For Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And his son was full of truth and mercy, truth and grace. So how could he love us if he didn't tell us the truth? He told us we were sinners, wicked, vile, unclean, on our way into the dark pit of hell. That was just truth he spoke unto us. We get very unraveled when someone, we get unraveled when someone tells us the truth. He said, but just speak the truth in love. May grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Messiah. For whom the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every part is important. Every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth. Because it's there for a purpose. It's part of the mechanics of the body. And make sure that everything is in place. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There should be an effectual working of the measure. And that measure, the fullness of Messiah in us. And every part should be full of him, full of his truth, his desire, his knowledge. Make it increase. And that's what it should do. Make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, look at the body. As we be in a little small fragmentation of that. Come on, saints. There should be increase. There should be increase. Look at your own life. And what kind of increase? We got to get things right, saints. We got to bring forth the abundant of fruit. It's time out your way. Daddy's way, mama's way, granny's way. There's only one way. Say, there's one faith. One your way and one baptism. One your way, one faith, and one baptism. There's one L. It can't be but one way. It can't be a diversity of ways because just with us here, there's a diversity of ways here. It has to be one way, saints. And when we walk in that one way, according to that will and the purpose of our will, there will be an increase of the body. And it will be one of edification of itself. And it will be one in love, too. When men see us, when you see one another, you'll be edified because there's a love, there's a strength there. You'll be edified. What is edified? It brings you to a knowledge, a fullness of a knowledge. Brings you to understanding. You can comprehend. You know. And so there has not been an increase. And what we've learned over the years, what we've been taught, what has been established in us, it hasn't brought about the increase that Yahweh intends to bring. That's why we must redeem the time. Because we know the day draws near. That's what we're going to do, redeem the time. That's what we're going to do. We're going to redeem the time because the days are evil. The days are very evil. That's why you want to see some increase, some value for the kingdom, saints. That's what you want to see. So he's established his own hierarchy of power that it will bring forth this great anointing in the hearts of his people that they may know without a shadow of a doubt. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he tells us what things we must do as we wrestle in this spiritual warfare, this battle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he tells us to do this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We must pray always in the Spirit. There must be a mourning and a groaning, a supplication in the Spirit. He say, and watch, watching now, watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for some of the saints. He said, well, you watch for all the saints. That's what he says. That's why he wants to pray for men everywhere. All the saints. He said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. And that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of this evangel of this truth. So that's what you're always doing. He's causing men to open their mouth boldly today. To make known the mysteries of this truth. It has nothing to do with personality. It disregard all of that. Has nothing to do with who it is. Has to do with him and him being known. And his grace being glorified and magnified. Has nothing to do with personality. Paul realized that because he knew that all men, when he first began to preach this profound truth, he said, "Did no man stand with me." He said, "All forsook me." Only those that Yahweh had called and ordained. Paul wanted to save the Hebrews, the Jews. But that wasn't the purpose of Yahweh, just like us. We want to save our mamas and our daddies and our cousins and our kinfolks. And that's our mission. He has a preordained method that he has ordained. Paul said, "For which I am an ambassador in bond. I'm not free to do what I want to. I have bonds. I can't say what I want to make it rosy for any of you all. And therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So I'm going to speak boldly, the way Yahweh intends for me to speak. He said, "I'm going to speak the way it ought to be spoken. But that ye also may know my affairs." You can see what I'm about. You can understand my purpose, my desire, and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in Messiah, shall make known to you all things. My. All things? He did not say some things, but all things that pertaineth unto this faith and the grace of Yahweh. He said, "Whom I will send unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might comfort your heart," that he may comfort your hearts, that he may speak a word with boldness that bring comfort to your heart. And that word is that Messiah is coming, saints. And he's coming for those that he has called and elected. Almighty Yahweh for his purpose. He said, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from Yahweh the Father, and from Messiah, Yahshua." He said, "Grace be with all them that love our Messiah in how?" And that's how you got to love him. Not in this false love, but you got to love him in sincerity. You love him in sincerity, you do what he tells you. You do, if you love him, then you will obey him. You keep his commandments. You do just what he commands us to do. And that's what it's all about, loving him in sincerity. With a sincere heart. Not a false heart. Folks say they love you, but yet they don't love. They don't know how to love. And that's the truth. They don't know, and they don't understand what love is. So that's what we must begin to do. Pray always with all prayer and all supplication. We need to begin to do that, pray in the spirit. We prayed enough in the flesh, haven't we? That's why there's been no increase. There's not been no increase in our love toward him. There's been no sincerity toward him. We get a euphoric for a moment, we get sincere. But it's not an enduring type thing that's generating our soul constantly, fervently, with an anointing. That's what he wants, saints. You must understand that this life is over with for all of us. The end of all things. Everything is going to be dissolved. Everything, saints. Everything. Even your life is going to be dissolved. So what do? We do what Scripture says. Pray for the saints with all supplication. You do it in love, that we may increase in the love of Almighty Yahweh. We love His truth. We love His word. We're sincere with Him. And above all things, we desire to please Him. May Yahweh bless you tonight. He gave me that before I left out. I didn't even know which way I was going. I had something else to preach, saints. But I believe we needed that tonight. I think we needed that little healing balm of Gilead. He knows what his house needs because we are preparing for a great battle. It's a battle for our souls. That's what we're preparing for, and the battle is at hand. We can't allow Satan to vex us and destroy our love for the Father. We got to love him with sincerity. We must do that. Every part of the body has its effectual measure that you're always given. That every part is needed because every part supplies to every part. Every part is effectual. And we need every part of the body to supply to every part of the body. Every part. We may be here, but there's saints there in Rwanda. And those in China. And those in Russia. And those in England. And so every little part work effectively for that body. They go into trials and may help us. Just to hear their great faith. How they endured. How they overcome. We go through a trial. It ought to increase the faith of one another. To know how you persevered. Why? Because we ought to sense that in the body. If one afflicted, we all should be afflicted. One sick amongst us, we should sense that. And that we can pray for them sincerely. In the spirit. That's what the Father wants. He wants us to bring increase, saints. And we need to do that in this hour. Because Satan is increasing his force.
The powers of hell, they are coming to rob the strength of the mind of men. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. There's very little love for the Father in this earth today. That's the truth. We have a religious, perverted generation. The minds are full of darkness. That's the truth. You can scour America and you look. You ought to be able to tell when someone has life in them. And the minds are so dark. I look at people, they may think I'm crazy. But I see such darkness upon this nation and the people. They know light in their eyes, their spirits, they're dark. They're not thinking about no Yahweh, let alone some God. And Jesus Christ is not even a part of their activity. No time but on Sunday morning. And they want him not to, and they don't want him to interfere with their ball games and their other activities. They don't want that. They know what time that restaurant, the crowd is out of there. They want to get their own time. So he's not even a part of their activities. And that's the true saints. We lift up him and thank Yahweh for his grace. May Yahweh bless you. Be encouraged tonight, saints. Get some rest. I believe he's coming. And I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to speak the word with boldness. I'm not going to let any man, anyone take my gift. I'm not going to let anyone do that. No one. If I have to stand here and preach with nobody but you. No, not the mass of you, but just you. And I die that way. I'm going to stand. I don't care who turned against me. I'm going to stand, saints. I don't care what men say against me. I'm going to stand. I'm not preaching a false doctrine. I'm preaching a truth of liberation. I know it. And I know what I see in Scripture. That is, you always open my eyes. Not to something crazy and strange. But I know what my eyes have been opened up unto now that I've never seen. Because if I denied his name, then he would have never opened these truths up unto me. I can see them now. I understand things more clear than I ever have. But denied his name, he would have never opened them up to me. And I've been just like a religious harlot like everyone else. You can't deny his name because he has a faithful name. Who named him? He did. You didn't name him. He told us his name. So we didn't name him, and you can't change it. May Yahweh bless you. Be encouraged tonight. Get a little rest. Let us stand to our feet. Pray for me. I need that, saints. Father, in all things, we bless you tonight. Bless the saints. Give them great strength. We thank you for your word of faith tonight. Bless our hearts. Thank you, Father, separating us from this wicked hour, this pagan activity tonight, full of drunkenness and reveling and banqueting. You're far from their minds. Bless all things in Messiah's name. We thank you for all things. Bless your saints.